Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Power to the teachers in Michigan, what the governor just signed into law. Meanwhile, what a Teamster strike could have cost UPS. And today on the show, the latest from the National Treasury Employees Union and the United Steelworkers. Welcome to the Friday, July 28th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Tony Reardon will be our first guest on the show today. Tony is retiring from the National Treasury Employees Union after serving more than 33 years. He served as president since 2015. And what we're going to do is run down some of his accomplishments over the last years as national president. Just to run down a few, Tony led the union through a number of unprecedented challenges. He faced an administration under Donald Trump that attacked federal employees and their unions. He navigated a 35-day federal government shutdown that saw federal employees standing in food lines because they weren't getting their paychecks. He also worked to keep federal workers safe on the job during the pandemic. And Tony Reardon was at the helm of the NTEU when the union delivered a paid parental leave program for the federal workforce, the highest pay raise in 20 years, and a historic investment in the IRS, plus the expansion of telework programs and much, much more. So he'll go through all of those accomplishments and talk about the challenges facing federal employees in the future, and also touch on all the rhetoric, the ugly rhetoric about federal employees, especially those at the IRS. Man, they were just chastised, saying that they're going to show up at your door with guns to take away your money. We heard all those stories, especially on Fox News. And Tony addressed all of these on the show throughout the years. So it's sad that he's going to be leaving. And we'll talk about the new leadership coming in, which will actually be next week. So Tony's going to be our first guest. Donnie Blatt will be joining us on behalf of the United Steelworkers, one of the many proud sponsors of America's Workforce. Donnie serves as District 1 Director. District 1 encompasses all of Ohio and all of Michigan. Now, they changed that about, I want to say, a year or two ago. It used to be just Ohio, but they consolidated the two states. Donnie's been a USW member for over 44 years. Started at Ormet Aluminum in Southeast Ohio back in 1979. Started with the USW International Union in 2001 as a District 1 Rapid Response Coordinator. He held the positions of Sub-District 3 Director, Assistant to the District 1 Director, and again, the District 1 Director. And he's had that position for, believe it or not, 4 years right now. USW.org is a national website, and because District 1 encompasses Ohio, we're going to talk about Issue 1. We've addressed this on the show many, many times, and this is the special election. It's going to be on August 8th, and it proposes to change the Ohio Constitution. Also, this is the other part that's not getting too much play. Current ballot initiatives require 5% of signatures from the most recent gubernatorial election in 44 of Ohio's 88 counties to get an issue on the ballot. This is known as the citizens' veto. Now, if issue one passes, the Ohio State Legislature is proposing to raise the standard to all 88 counties. So basically, you're taking power away from the citizens. It threatens our freedom at the ballot box, and it ends pretty much majority rule and one person, one vote. And I'll tell you, the labor unions, actually, there's about 250 organizations that are campaigning against issue one. And the steelworkers is just one of many, so Donnie will address that on the show. And now a brief look into the world of labor, the segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed into law several pieces of legislation aimed at restoring the power of teachers' unions in the state. Quite a contrast to what's going on in Florida, right? Well, under the new legislation, school districts will again be permitted to set up automatic withdrawals for union dues, which the previous Republican state government had prohibited. In addition, teachers' unions will be permitted to negotiate important topics during bargaining, such as evaluation systems, teacher discipline, position elimination, and hiring. School districts will be permitted to use seniority as a factor when making staffing decisions, and the public officials will no longer be required to freeze compensation levels if a contract ends during a contract negotiation. Now, these changes all reverse anti-union legislation enacted during the previous Republican administration and were thus made possible by the Michigan Democratic Party's success in winning unified party control of the state government last year. This was a long time coming, and we saw so many changes in Michigan with the previous Republican administration. The first thing that they did, and they said they weren't going to do it, was go right to work. And you know that is coming to an end. It's actually going to officially come to an end in March of next year, because of the way that they ended it. I've said this on the show many, many times. Elections matter. When you get the right people in office, good things happen for workers. In this case, in the state of Michigan, it's for the teachers and the teacher unions. So hats off to the lawmakers in the state of Michigan for what they were able to accomplish here. This was not an easy task. Nope, 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 nope. The Teamsters, as you know by now, and we talked about this on the show a couple days ago, they reached a tentative agreement with UPS on Tuesday, calling off a strike which was scheduled for next Tuesday. The contract between UPS and the Teamsters covers approximately 340,000 workers, making it the largest private sector contract in all of North America. Now get this. This is mind-boggling. UPS moves 6%. 6% of U.S. GDP every day. And over 70% of its workforce belongs to a labor union, primarily the Teamsters, whose members voted 97% in favor of authorizing a strike. Now, if that would have happened, it would have been the largest strike in 60 years. And it was projected to cost the U.S. economy more than $5 billion. Can you believe that? Now, the last UPS strike, that occurred back in 1997, and it cost the company $850 million. So obviously, looking at those numbers, and they were playing hardball. UPS was playing hardball to the point where the talks actually broke off and everybody was bracing for a strike. We even reported on the show that UPS was starting to hire replacement workers. Finally, the common sense chimed in and they said, you know what? We got to settle this. Contract negotiations stalled over UPS's executives' resistance to the demands, especially with regard to pay for part-time workers. By the way, about half of the Teamsters who work for UPS are actually part-time workers. Meanwhile, according to the publication Vice, this is an interesting story. There's been an unexplained uptick in anonymous posting of videos that appear to be from Amazon delivery van surveillance cameras. Many of the videos were clearly not posted by the subject of the videos. They were recordings of surveillance footage taken from within Amazon delivery warehouses. Well, when Vice separately reported on consent forms drivers had assigned that would enable what they call biometric surveillance, The company, Amazon, clarified that the surveillance cameras were for safety only. But as Vice points out, the leak of the videos highlights that what begins as a safety feature actually means they're monitoring workers. Now, this concern, mind you, was at play in the recent UPS Teamsters agreement. Turns out that one of five key demands was for no more driver-facing surveillance cameras in trucks. And get this, the Teamsters, they were able to get a concession that ensures that surveillance footage will not be used for disciplinary purposes. Once again, power of the union. And one more here. There is an organization in Israel that's their leading public sector union called Histadrut. The Histadrut Labor Federation says it will announce a labor dispute after Parliament ratified the reasonableness bill. Now, that bill weakens the Israeli judiciary's ability to declare government decisions unreasonable. Turns out over 70 U.S. legal scholars, including several Harvard Law School professors, signed a joint statement against the bill, and protesters across Israel have taken to the streets to demonstrate in opposition to the bill's passage. The government coalition's unilateral advancement of the controversial bill pushed the labor union to threaten a general economic strike. And the union leadership, I mean, I tell you, unions are real strong in Israel. They say the goal of the strike is a complete shutdown. The prime minister there is pretty much trying to overtake the judiciary. Very, very authoritarian demands by the prime minister. And many are saying it's just getting out of hand. So hats off to the Labor Federation there, Israel's leading public sector union, taking a stand on this issue. All right. Quick break. When we come back, Tony Reardon of the National Treasury Employees Union.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at LIUNA.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment. Good employment, I might add. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to the nation's capital right now and join. Well, I guess this will be the last time for Tony Reardon. Tony is the president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Website is NTEU.org. And in a couple of weeks, Tony is leaving his position. There's going to be a convention in between that. But Tony has been with the Treasury Union for well over 33 years to be exact, and 8 years as president. Tony, I guess you're hitting the end of the road. Is that the best way to put it? to our listeners?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, Flash, look, I hope I'm not hitting the end of the road, but you have accurately described my impending retirement. You know, I've had the pleasure of being with you so many times, and yeah, we're coming to I guess this is the last time I'll be on the show, certainly as national president of NTU, and I'm really happy to be with you.
I'm just wondering, I know a couple of union presidents, Terry O'Sullivan for one. He was head of general president of LIUNA, Laborers International, for 20 plus years, and he's now president emeritus. Are you going to take on one of those roles as well, since you have so much experience with the Treasury Union?
Yeah. You know, I don't think there will certainly be any, I guess, formal role. But what I've been telling people is, you know, this is in my blood. So
yeah.
So I'm not going to be far. And the way I've described it, Flash, is that I'm going to be kind of that cheerleader on the sidelines, the guy screaming and yelling the loudest in support of our employees and what federal employees have to endure, and you know, really. Being a cheerleader for our civil service system in this country. It's what I think in so many ways protects our democracy.
Well, Tony, the last 8 years, well, you had some bumps in the road, especially with the administration, the Trump administration. You had the federal shutdown. You had the pandemic. But, boy, I tell you, you stood tall. You stood strong. You united your union. Then you had all the craziness going with the IRS and what Fox News was saying was going to happen because more IRS agents would be put on the street. Of course, it's important that we collect the taxes so we can keep the government running. But if you can just run down the 8 years you served as national president, what if you could list them, let's start right there. If you could list them, what would you think is your greatest accomplishment, Tony?
Oh boy, I guess, I think, Flash, I would start off by saying, you know, my time as national president, and I've had a lot of time, you know, certainly in recent weeks, months, to really think about this. My time as national president, I think, was really defined by several major external threats. In hindsight, each one of them, after a great deal of pain, ended up making us stronger. And I'm really, really proud of the way that NTEU members responded to all these challenges that you kind of mentioned, because they were significant. And, you know, that solidarity continues to really pay dividends to this day. So I think probably the biggest accomplishment really is that our union, really stood as one united force. And, you know, I'm really proud of that. Now, in terms of, you know, other kinds of accomplishments, I'll give you a few that really, I think are probably at the top of the list. One of which is for federal employees. There is now in place paid parental leave. I think that is huge. That's something that NTEU fought for 20 years. It's not only important just in and of itself and what it does for families and certainly newborn children and so forth, but I think it really demonstrates certainly to our members and potential members that this is a union that is in for the long haul. And, you know, we won't just get into a fight and then kind of back out and not stick with it. We stick with stuff. Another thing is that this year in 2023 was the largest pay raise for federal employees in 20 years. That 4.6% raise was a huge help, obviously, for employees and their families. And we're looking at in 2024, it being an even higher increase. I think if I had to guess right now, we're probably looking at the 5.2% in that range, although we're still continuing to fight for 8.7%, which we think is certainly more appropriate for federal employees. All right, what else? historic investment, as people have heard, in the IRS. It was through the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, that the IRS was provided $80 billion. Of course, that, was then reduced down to $60 billion. But nonetheless, it remains a huge amount of money to help the IRS rebuild. I guess the final thing, and I could probably go on for hours, but the final thing that I would mention is really a resetting through our work with the current administration, a resetting of relationships at agencies where labor management relations had dramatically deteriorated under the Trump administration. And I would point specifically to Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and Health and Human Services, HHS. And so, in fact, we had huge fights with the Trump administration-led HHS during their time. And we now, in fact, about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I sat down with Secretary Becerra and signed a new contract. And that was huge. It's the best contract HHS employees have ever had. So those are some of the things that I think I'm really proud of.
I think a lot of people don't realize how many federal agencies that you cover, the National Treasury Employees Union, altogether 34 federal agencies, 34 federal agencies. Yeah, Customs, Border Patrol, all that under the NTEU. It's so important that's pointed out. You mentioned the shutdown. I have to brace you for this. We had Bill Samuel. You know Bill from the AFL. Yeah, he was the government. He is the government affairs director. And he was telling us there might be a government shutdown in October. And it's because they don't like, they being the far right part of the GOP, they didn't like the deal that McCarthy cut with Biden to avert a shutdown, to avert a default on paying our bills.
Right.
And so they're strong arming him right now. So who knows what's going to happen. But that being said, I was reading earlier about the 35-day federal shutdown under Trump. And I forgot about this. Tony, you had federal employees standing in food lines back then. I mean, this is America. I mean, I can't even believe that happened. I'm sure that had to really, take you back a couple of years.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Flash, every time I think about that, there were really three things that I think about, three sort of events that impacted federal employees and NTEU over my 8 years as national president that I think about every single day in some way. It was the Trump administration executive orders, May 2018 executive orders. It was a 35-day government shutdown that you just mentioned that occurred in 2018, 2019, and clearly the pandemic. Now, with regard to the government shutdown, I recall that at its outset, at that time, President Trump talking about, we're going to make this thing go for up to a year.
Yeah.
Now, look, here's the thing that always just stunned me. Working adults in this country, 78% of them live paycheck to paycheck. And here we had these federal employees. And look, I know there's this sort of narrative out there or this view that for some folks that federal employees are somehow wealthy. Look, they're just like your neighbor, right? Where, federal employees in many cases are middle class Americans, and you're right. Because of that shutdown, they missed two paychecks. So they couldn't pay their mortgage, they couldn't pay their rent, they couldn't pay their car payment, they couldn't pay their credit card bills. They could not afford to put food on their tables. And so you're right, they were in food pantries and food lines, and they pull up in their car, open their trunk, and somebody would throw a box of food into the back of their car or other necessities, that kind of thing. And so it was heartbreaking to me to watch federal employees in the United States of America be treated in that way. But let me get to you know, and I said this to my members whenever I would talk to them, because I traveled around and went to a lot of membership meetings and that sort of thing. What I would say to them is, look, I don't ever want you, our members, to ever have to experience another shutdown like that. But if I had to find a silver lining out there somewhere around that, here was the silver lining. For the first time in my lifetime, and my father was a federal employee at one point. So I remember, you know, what the rhetoric was in the early 70s and through the 80s and all that about federal employees. And certainly I understand, you know, since, you know, for the last 33 and a half years that I've been at NTEU, what all the rhetoric is about federal employees. But here's what I think one of the silver lining benefits was. For the first time in my lifetime, the American people got to see firsthand what it is that federal employees do and how they touch the lives of all Americans every single day. And that, you know what, federal employees, the American people got to see, they're no different than I am. They're just right. Like us. And I think that was important.
Boy, I knew I'd get your goat here. I'm going to miss you, buddy. I'm really going to miss you. Tony Reardon joining us on our live line today. He is retiring as national president of the Treasury Employees Union. Website is nteu.org. We'll talk about the challenges ahead facing federal employees. Later in the show, we're going to check in with one of our partners, one of our sponsors, that would be the steelworkers, and that's going to be issue one in the state of Ohio, coming from the District 1 director covering Ohio and Michigan. Back in a few minutes, you're listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-union.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. They're one of many unions fighting issue one, and we're going to talk more about that with the steelworkers. But right now, I'm going to go back to Washington, button up our interview with Tony Reardon. He is the outgoing national president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Just a couple of weeks left after 33 years in the union, 8 years as a national president. Tony, I want to talk about the challenges here. I mean, we kind of touched on what happened in the last 8 years under your leadership. And you mentioned, too, the IRS situation. They whittled away some of the money there in the Employee Reduction Act, but you still got $60 billion. I know they're going to try to knock that down even more, but bottom line is, you know, you did a great job here. You stood tall through all the challenges. What do you see lying ahead here? And I guess this is kind of to pave the way for the next the leader of the National Treasury Employees Union. I'm sure you'll work with that person when that time comes, which will be right around the corner. But Tony, what do you see ahead? I mean, we got a good organizing climate right now. We got the right people in office. You talked about a pay raise and all that. We just got to keep moving in that direction. And you know, that's not an easy direction to keep going in the right way with, right? I mean, you've got a lot of experience in this. So what do you think about the future here?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I would agree, Flash, that we certainly have an outstanding organizing climate. And one of the things that just to touch on organizing very quickly, you know, NTEU in recent years, we've organized three new chapters in the Bureau of Land Management. So NTEU currently, and I know into the future, will continue to focus on growing its membership and organizing in order to help do that, a great deal. But here's, I'm going to go a little bit big picture here on you with regard to challenges. So I'm going to really sort of shorten this story a little bit. But when I was in high school, I was a foreign exchange student in the town of Zost, West Germany, what was then West Germany. Mm-hmm. And this class, I was 14 years old. It was a class of about 17-year-olds. And it was one of these days where I kind of get the impression, or I got the impression then, that they're like, hey, let's put the American kid up in front of the room in a chair and let's just bombard him with questions. And the reason I tell you that is because the very first question I got was exactly this: Tony, why is the U.S. civil service system a marvel of the world? I mean, I'm like 14 years old. I have no idea what the answer to that is. You know, and I tell people all the time, I was a little bit embarrassed about that, right? That it felt like these kids from West Germany knew about it more than I did. And my dad had been a federal employee. So, you know, and I also joked that, well, I know the answer now. But here's why I tell you that story. Because one of the answers is that our civil service system is the marvel of the world because it is merit-based. And, you know, there are unfortunately, some powerful people out there who want to go back to the spoils system, taking frontline federal jobs away from neutral experts and giving them to partisan loyalists. I also worry about the disrespect that is way too often shown or directed at federal employees. We've got people running for high office right now today on platforms that are really focused on firing federal employees, eliminating entire federal agencies, and unfortunately demonizing the people who have done absolutely nothing but swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America. And by the way, just let me add on to that, and carry out the policies that are set by Congress and the administration, whatever administration's in power at that time. So I'm worried about sort of this relentless campaign to discredit federal agencies and the people who work at them. Look, I'm all for having honest debates about government's role. I think that's important. But, you know, to continue to go after federal employees and our federal government, I think is just, boy, it's just wrong minded.
Tony, what you just said kind of reminds me of Ronald Reagan. I mean, you're old enough to remember Ronald Reagan when he was running for president against Jimmy Carter in 1980. And he was joking around about government workers. And one of those lines was, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And the crowd that he was speaking to was obviously on his side, and there got a chuckle and made all kind of news media. And that campaign, though, what happened back then, that was a relentless campaign to whittle down federal government. And it has happened. It has happened. And then you saw a lot of privatization going on. You know what really bothers me, because we talked about this a lot with the American Federation of Government Employees. People think that, oh, if you privatize, you're going to save money. You're still using taxpayers' money. You know, you're still using taxpayer money, because this money is allocated for certain departments. And a lot of people just don't understand it. There's a lot of education that needs to be laid out to the American public on that. And, You know, going forward here, I guess, I don't know, maybe the best advice, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, is do the unions have to do a better job in educating the American public on their respective unions, like what you do at Treasury, what government employees do at AFGE, what, and we're going to talk to the steelworkers. I mean, they have their rapid response team. Do you see that as a way forward to get the message out for working people? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right, Flash. I think, you know, one of the overarching goals, you know, we have at NTEU kind of four overarching goals. One of those goals that I put in place probably, six years ago or something, tell our stories. And I think that's exactly the case. We've got to be out there. All unions have to be out there doing a better job of explaining what it is they do, why they're there, and what their members are doing every day, and how what their members are doing benefits the American public. You know, look here, one of the things, Flesh, that I've been saying for a long time, I mean, I think we only need look at January 6th and, you know, those kinds of things to understand that we have done a lousy job in this country over the last 50 or 60 years or whatever it's been in educating young people about our democracy, about what happened in this country to achieve our democracy, and what work it takes from each of us as citizens to maintain the freedoms that people long before us fought for. And so if we don't start doing a better job of educating, and it's not just unions, it's this entire country, we got to educate our people about our democracy.
Well said, my man. Tony Reardon, National Treasury Employees Union president for 8 years, 33 plus years. With the union, NTEU.org. I'm going to leave it on that note. What's okay? Well, you're going to retire, I believe. What is it, August 10th? What's the first thing that you're going to do when you leave your office? Let me ask you that, Tony.
So I'll tell you. There's really three things that I'm going to be focused on, and I've done nothing in the direction of making these happen yet. I've kind of had a full time job. But what I'm going to do is I'm moving to North Carolina. My wife and I bought a house in North Carolina. We're moving down there. I'm going to try to work to help turn that state blue. And I'm going to work with high school students, you know, as a mentor, I hope. And also, I'm going to do something that I've been really passionate about from a long time ago. I'm going to try to do a little bit of sports announcing. Can you imagine that? So
I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
not ESPN or anything.
I get it. Well, please keep in touch. You're going to keep your cell phone then. Can we talk down the road? Especially, I like what you're saying about North Carolina. And when you get done with North Carolina, go to South Carolina, because they're the least unionized state in the country.
Flex, one thing at a time, my man.
Okay, one thing at a time. I get it. Well, you take care, my brother. And it was a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck to you, and please keep in touch, okay?
I will do that. Thank you, Flash.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Donnie Black, on behalf of the steelworkers, talking issue one, back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between,
Our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, that'd be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Donnie Blatt, Donnie is the District 1 Director for the United Steelworkers. Got to give a shout out to Emil Ramirez at District 11 on behalf of the steelworkers. And that's because the workers in Bismarck, North Dakota, have voted to ratify their first union contract at the Bobcat manufacturing facility. This actually happened last week. The union and Bobcat management reached a tentative agreement on a new contract covering more than 700 hourly workers. And Emil said that the local union bargaining committee unanimously recommended the agreement for ratification and credited the membership solidarity for the successful negotiations. So congratulations there. Those Bobcats are amazing, I'll tell you. I told my wife, I said, well, I could do some damage with one of those. And she said, just stay away from it, Flash. Just stay away from it. Let's go to our live line here and join Donnie Blatt. Donnie, again, District 1 Director of the United Steelworkers, USW.org, national website. He's here to talk about voting no on Issue 1. Donnie, how we doing, my brother?
Good afternoon, Flash. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Have you ever gotten on a Bobcat?
I have not, but I may now, since we won that that organizing drive. I may just get on one.
I hear you. I hear you.
Made by steelworkers. Yeah. Got to do it, right?
You got it. You got it, my friend. All right, special election, and I want to tell you, I want to salute all the unions, and I'll put the steelworkers at the top of the list for getting messaging out on voting no on Issue 1. I mean, the best way to put Donnie, isn't this just a power grab? Isn't that the best way to describe what's going on here?
You know, Flash, it is a power grab, but the best way that I describe it is nothing but a lie. It really is a bold-faced lie to every citizen in the state of Ohio. Those supporters that are out there trying to get people to vote yes are they're just basically lying to people about this.
So why don't you run down the specifics here? Because not only will it be difficult to amend the Constitution, but to even the process itself. And I think a lot of people don't realize this, because right now, I guess ballot initiatives require 5% of signatures from what is it, 44 of the 88 counties. Now that changes dramatically under this, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It changes to that. They want to propose that you have to get 5% of the signatures from the most recent gubernatorial election in all 88 counties. And so basically what that does is that says to anybody that would be against getting something put on the ballot, they would only be required to work in one county to keep something from going on the ballot that the citizens of Ohio may want to vote on. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, I would love for a supporter of Issue 1 to tell me, how is that democracy? You know, I mean, it could actually come down, Flash, it could come down to one signature. One signature could keep that many people in the state of Ohio to say, we want to have something on the ballot, and we want to vote on it. One signature in all those 88 counties could keep that from happening. And so I just don't understand how that's democracy in the state of Ohio.
And the big part of this, if you want to amend something that the legislature, or, you know, minimum wage is a good example. I've cited this on the show a couple of times, and you may recall back, I think it was 2006, mm-hmm. when because wages, I mean, we're still tied to the national minimum wage, which is still $7.25 an hour. They raised it, and now it's indexed to inflation. And now we're talking about like $10. It's over $10 an hour in the state of Ohio. And that is because voters, and at that time it was 53%. 53% of the voters in Ohio decided to say, hey, you know, we're going to raise wages. Now, if issue one was intact, we wouldn't have that today. Because
That's exactly right.
You need the 60%. I have to share with you something, and we still record the show at Ironworkers Local 17 in downtown Cleveland. And, you know, District 1 covers Michigan. So we know what's going on here between Ohio and Michigan, okay?
Right, exactly.
One of the screens I saw here, this is a perfect example here. We know the rivalry of Ohio State and Michigan. It goes back decades. Mm-hmm. If the game was played in Ohio and Ohio State got 59 points and Michigan got 41, under Ohio's rules, Ohio State would not win the game.
That's exactly right. Michigan would win. And think about this. If the Cavaliers were playing the Pistons, under the county rule, if the Cavaliers scored 87 points and the Pistons scored one, the Pistons would win. I mean, just think about that. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about numbers here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. And you know, Flash, one of the things I would love for one supporter to tell me how you came up with 60% in this.
Yeah.
Where did that number come from? You know, well, you how did you come up with 60%? Did they just pick it out of the air and say, we're going to do 60% under something that important that affects every voice in the state of Ohio? I've never had one supporter be able to tell me how they came up with that number of 60% plus one.
Well, Donnie, I will share with you this. One of the lawmakers told me that she would like to be 75%. That's what she said. To make it even more difficult for citizens. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. So, okay, a lot of commercials running right now, TV, radio, digital advertising, print. I know what's going on here. Let's talk about what the steelworkers are doing when it comes to messaging, because I know your team, Rapid Response, everything that you have at your fingertips, I know it's at full speed. Can you spell it out for us?
Yeah, sure. Look, we're doing everything we can do to get the message out to people about why it's so important to vote no on this. And you know, let's be honest, they didn't give us a whole lot of time to do this, right?
Right.
So they put this thing in a special election in August, which, by the way, was banned less than a year ago by this very majority in the legislature. They banned it because of low voter turnout and the cost to the Ohio taxpayers. They put it in this special election in August so we wouldn't have an opportunity to be able to get the message out to people. But we've been working hard to do that, and our Rapid Response program has been vital in doing that. We have our network set up to where we can get information out to folks and talk about why this is bad for not only labor but for every citizen in the state of Ohio. We also have our social media department in Pittsburgh that we have now that we have things all over the social media. And look, that reaches a lot of people. And we're going to continue to get that message out and drive this vote no message until the very last vote is cast on August the 8th. We're going to continue to drive that through all of our, and we have our communications department as well in Pittsburgh that's putting out a lot of stuff. So we're getting the message out to people, and we're going to continue to drive that vote no message.
Well, one thing that labor has is boots on the ground in direct contact with the locals. How are people reacting to this? Do they understand how serious this is, what they're trying to do in the state of Ohio?
Yeah, for the most part, people do understand how serious this is. I think we've been doing a really good job in trying to drive out the early vote and talking to folks why it's important. Get out there early. Vote no for this thing. I can tell you the first day that early vote started, I was standing outside the door waiting to get into the polling booth. I was the first person standing outside the door because I wanted to try to be the first person in the state of Ohio to vote no for this bold-faced lie that they're trying to tell the folks in the state of Ohio and trying to take the power away from the ordinary and the voice away from ordinary citizens.
And let them know, too, that they're using our tax money to do this. This is the thing that really baffles me, because first of all, they said, oh, August elections. And to your point, you mentioned this, you know, August elections, nobody shows up. It's the middle of summer. Why bother? And they're too costly. So they banned them. They said no. And then all of a sudden, wait, rush to judgment here. Let's bring them back. This is going to cost. This is going to cost us $20 million. Donnie, $20 million. I mean, that's ridiculous. Go ahead.
$20 million and plus, you know, they've taken this, they get this guy from Illinois, this billionaire from Illinois that is also funding this to drive out the message, this bold-faced lie to the citizens of Ohio. And, you know, it's just, it really, and you know what the crazy thing is about this, Flash, in this August election, the crazy thing is they expect us to live to under a different standard than the legislators do, because the legislators want to come in this special election. One issue in this special election in August costs the taxpayers $20 million, and they want to say to us, the citizens of Ohio, we want you to have to get 60% plus one of the vote to pass any ballot initiative going forward. But, oh, by the way, we're going to pass this one by 50% plus one. So they expect us to live by a different standard than what they want to do to pass this. And they could have come out and said, hey, we're going to pass this by 60% plus one, but they chose not to because they know they can't get it done.
Yeah. Well, part of me believes that I think some of them know that this is not going to pass, and they're probably preaching to their base, saying, well, we tried. It's akin to the politician, and Donnie, you know this. There's politicians out there, and they've introduced right-to-work legislation in the state of Ohio many, many times. They do it every year, and it gets shot down in committee. Mm-hmm. But they can go back to their base and say, hey, I tried. I tried. Right. It didn't work. Right. Nobody's listening. That's why you got to give me more money. I mean, that's pretty much what happens.
Yep. And if you think about this, Flash, back in 2011, they attempted to take collective bargaining rights away from the public sector employees. Mm-hmm. And we did the ballot initiative. We went out and got the signatures, and we had the election. And that election was overturned in 2011, and the public sector workers were able to retain their rights to collective bargaining. And I can guarantee you, their agenda is, if they could pass this, their agenda is to do right to work in the state of Ohio. And their agenda is to reduce workers' compensation and make it more stringent to be eligible for workers' compensation. And their agenda is to reduce unemployment compensation and make it more stringent to be eligible for unemployment compensation. That really is their agenda going forward with this thing. It has nothing to do with protecting the Constitution or, you know, even if they say, you know, people are saying this is about the abortion issue that's going to come up in November. This has nothing to do with any of that. This is about their agenda, their total agenda, entire agenda going forward. And the bad part is, If it is their agenda, whatever their agenda is with this, they ought to put it on their signs. Don't say it's about protecting the Constitution, because it has nothing to do with that. Put it on your signs. Let people know what your agenda is so they really know what they're voting for. And that's how they're being really dishonest with the folks in the state of Ohio.
Couldn't have said it better. Donnie Blatt, District 1 Director of the United Steelworkers on Issue 1. There's so much information out there. Vote no on Issue 1. So important there. You take care, my brother. Keep up the fight. We'll talk to you after the election, okay?
Okay. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
All right. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, we're going to check in with the Service Employees Union in Florida and the General President, the new General President of Labor's International. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.